Fancast. Welcome to the Geekdom Fancast. It's just us two today. And us two, by us two, I mean me, Mike. Hello, geeks. And I'm also with Derek. Hi, Derek.
Who's Derek?
I don't know.
Fuck that guy. He's lame. I heard that guy on Comics Brews and Profanity. That guy was a douche.
Yeah, that guy totally got too drunk. You could totally tell. And he, like, just passed out.
I saw Molly McCook fucking post a tweet today saying, she's like, don't fall asleep on set because then everyone takes pictures with you.
And that's what we did with you at Comics, Booze, and Profanity.
Oh, dude, I haven't seen those yet, but I don't want to see them.
You didn't fall asleep.
Oh, okay.
For listeners, he didn't fall asleep, but he zoned out for a bit. As Derek does, like he's doing now.
Oh, that's right, because I started getting really fucking tired. I started getting so tired, I was like, you guys were looking at me like, Derek, I'm like, huh, what? Like, yeah, I started getting really
tired. It might not have helped that I talked about Saga for way too long, but why are we talking about Gabe's podcast?
Because
this
we
is
like
all about
him.
Us. Do we?
Well, I mean,
I'm just
he hasn't given
we
me
love
free,
you, Gabe.
He hasn't given me free comics yet, so I'm still waiting on that.
What's going on with that? Lantern? I guess we just call him by his
oh, name. Sorry, yeah, Lantern. But he's been on our podcast, so we can call him Gabe because he's been on our podcast.
That's true. Oh, well. I mean, he hasn't said anything bad about any comics on this episode, right? So, and he never does. He's always a nice guy. Hire him.
I don't think he did, actually.
DC.
That's a good point, actually.
And he's a great artist. Hire him, DC.
Yes.
But on this episode, we're going to talk to you about living in L.A. because we're fucking tight, and that's what happens. Not really. We're just going to talk about the shows we've been to, because what's the point of going to the shows if we don't get to put them on a podcast, right? It's not like we go to them for fun, right? We don't go to these shows to be friends and spend quality time together.
Well, it's weird because, like, there's so many times that you and I do separate things all the time. We'll do our own nerd things, our own off doing things, and it's, like, weird that we've actually had a string of things that we've been doing together lately. So,
I think we realize that we're the only people that like to do the stupid shit that we go to do.
Blacklist reads, what's that? That sounds gay.
It's funny because we're seeing all these shows that you probably can't see anywhere else in the country unless you're in New York, because it's like a script reading, so we're going to talk about Blacklist, which is a script reading, and then we went to like a radio show. Like, that doesn't happen in like Minneapolis, Minnesota, or Providence, Rhode Island.
Just New York.
Just in New York, yeah, in L.A. And it's cool because it's like, it's the theater, technically. We've seen people perform, but like, it's not necessarily theater. We're like, they're acting and getting up. I guess they're
acting.
Acting. I mean, and we've talked about these things before, but we're gonna go into a little more depth with them because it's a chill episode, guys. We don't have to have crazy guests every time, right?
We don't have to have a 3-hour episode every time. And Dominic's like, but I need one that long so when I walk to work.
Dominic, do it in slow motion. Put us at half speed.
I really like that show.
Cut to like 2 hours later and we're still talking about Thrilling Adventure Hour.
And Mike's still talking about Saga.
Yeah, anyways, about Saga. So we get to go to these cool events in LA, and it's fun because it's like actors just like, they're probably like, I'm guessing like a lot of these events are actors just like, oh fuck, like auditioning all the time, fuck like trying to get commercial parts, and I just want to have fun and play with my friends. So like all these events, it's pretty, I like the vibe of them, you know, like especially the Blacklist one that we went to.
I really want to know, I don't even know who we could ask. I really want to know how they select the people for these readings. Like, do they audition? Do they reach out to them? Like,
Me too.
Anyways,
that's
we should probably just say what it is.
Yeah, so
we haven't done that yet.
So the first thing we went to, the first thing we're going to talk about is a Blacklist live reading of Ben Schwartz's El Fuego Caliente. So the Blacklist is a website for screenwriters where like you could put your screenplay on, and it's kind of like famous for being known to like agents and producers. And they just like what they're all about is trying to get more people to see all these like really good like screenplays that everyone's kind of passing on or like ignoring or whatever. And they've been doing this for a long time, and they're kind of successful at getting like things made. Like I don't have a list with me right now, but I think like I think, like, The Way, Way Back was a Blacklist read. Like, all these, like, movies.
I think it
like,
was.
You'll be surprised. I mean, the one that we went to before with, that we saw Chelsea Peretti at, and,
Ginger Gonzaga! Sorry.
Ginger Gonzaga. And who else was on that?
Kristen
Schaal.
Yeah.
Kristen Schaal. Like, we saw that.
Adam Brody.
Yeah, we saw a reading of that, and then, like, shortly after, they got picked up to, they got greenlit to make a movie out of that script. So yeah, they're pretty cool. And they Blacklist also, like, the Blacklist makes a list at the end of the year that like the 100 or however many 20 best scripts of that year or whatever. And it's a good read. It's a good tool for any listeners out there that aren't in LA or like are just struggling to get their shit read. Blacklist is a good place to do it. I mean, obviously the one we're gonna read is like Ben Schwartz, who's like in, who like is a working actor. Like, he's on House of Lies. He's done things on Parks and Rec, and he just guest spots in a lot of things, and he's a big in the improv scene. But usually, it's like screenwriters that don't get a lot of play. You know?
Do you know, because I know that you've probably done more research into this because of your writing know-how. Now, they put these on this, because I'm sure this is something someone might be wondering. So they put these on the site.
Yeah.
Now, who, do they still retain the rights? Like, who owns them once they put them on the site?
The writers still retain the rights.
Okay, so the Blacklist is just, like, offering a professional service or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, so, like, because you have to pay for it if you're a producer or whatever. So you can sign up as a producer or a director or whatever, or an agent.
Yeah.
And then you could also sign up as a screenwriter. And it's cool because it's, like, the Blacklist is curated. So if you're a producer or an agent and you're listening to this, hey, what's up? Give me a job. But, I mean, if you're a producer, it's cool for producers or agents because, like, they could, they know, like, there's, like, some esteem behind them, so they know that they could trust them rather than just getting, like, the random scripts they get, like, however many, like, thousands of scripts that they get a year or whatever.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like having a reader without having to pay for them, just paying for a membership. But, yeah, they retain all the rights. I'm not sure. I'm curious as to see, because, they've been doing this recently, right? Like, this, it's not anymore.
The readings?
Like, yeah.
I don't know because I randomly discovered them, however you will. Like, I always discover a lot of stuff like this, and Throwing Adventure Hour 2 we'll get to. Yeah, Allison Brie tweeted out when she did a reading last year at some point saying, oh, I'm gonna be doing this, blah blah blah, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? And then I looked at the cast and it was like her, Nathan Fillion, I think Gina Rodriguez maybe, or that might have been a different one, but it was a whole bunch of famous people, and I'm like, what? And I'm like, they do these? And I'm like, so I start following. Bam, start following right away.
Oh, nice. So, I'm glad you did because We found out about this cool one.
Right.
Actually, I think I found out about this one, right? Just because of Ben Schwartz.
Well, okay. The thing with this one was, is that I...
Oh, we found out about it separately.
Well,
and
no.
And then I told you, and then you're like...
The thing was, is like,
this is great podcasting.
I saw the beginning of the cast list, and it wasn't, I was like kind of lukewarm on it. And so, because you know, a lot of stuff with me, if for some reason you don't know, I always work graveyard. So, with my job, so like if I'm going to go to something and I'm going to have to stay up or not get sleep, it has to be worth it. And I remember seeing the cast list I did see, it was only, I think, like four or five people. And I was very lukewarm on it. I was like, eh. And then you said, let's go to it. And then I remember I saw a tweet or something later on, they added more people to it. I'm like, oh shit, this got way better now. So Then I got interested. But I remember when they first put out, I was like, you know.
Yeah.
But then it got better. So I'm glad.
So let's get into the cast list.
So I'm glad that you said let's go, because otherwise I probably would have missed it.
So let's go to, I mean, and we also did have the GHD screening that we talked about a couple episodes ago.
With that Lance guy, but he's lame.
Yeah, what, gonna make it out today, whatever. So this one was directed and written by Ben Schwartz. The players of the cast of El Fuego Caliente were Rosalind Sanchez, Diego Boneta. Who's that guy? Diego Boneta.
He's on Scream Queens.
Oh, yeah. That
I don't know
funny.
Anything other than that, though.
That was funny. Melanie Lynskey, also funny. Ben Schwartz.
I didn't know who that was.
But she was funny.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to know who she was.
No, she was the one at the end.
You were saying her name. I thought you were going to know who she was. I just assumed you knew who she was. Okay.
No. Ben Schwartz was, he's the writer, but also, like, since he's an actor and an improviser, of course, he's going to be in it. And I think he wrote himself in because the person he played was like a Jewish guy that was in his 30s. And Stephanie Beatriz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Woohoo!
Judy Reyes was Salma. She's Puerto
Devious
Rican
Maid.
Scrubs, right?
Devious Maids.
And Devious Maids. Jamie Camille, who is from Jane the Virgin, fucking hilarious, and was written into the thing as a reference. But we'll get into that. Natalie Martinez was Gabriella.
She's on Kingdom. She was on Detroit 187. She was on Secrets and Lies. She's like one of those girls that just pops up on fucking everything.
She's funny too.
She's really hot. Anyways.
Oh, yeah, yeah, she was.
I just want to make sure we don't get past that.
I mean, I honestly. Don Cheadle was the last person. That was like the last.
Oh, wow. Cast, this is funny. So, well, I'm sorry. I have to bring this up. So, that Melanie Lynskey guy, or girl, sorry, my bad. Sorry, Melanie. I'm sure you're listening. Was actually in a film called Chew and Blossom, which is made by two of my friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
That's their movie. Like, they wrote and directed it. My friend's, like, the star of the movie, and it says that she was in it. I've seen the movie. I'm not... I mean, I know it sounds dumb. It's like, well, haven't you seen the movie? I saw it, but it was a while ago, so I'm actually going to have to go back, and I'm kind of curious what character she was now. But sorry, that's a completely random thing that I just noticed.
It's going to be fun to talk about that with her when she comes on the podcast. Hey! Melanie, looking forward to that conversation.
And also, apparently, she was on 63 episodes of Two and a Half Men.
Oh, Jesus.
But I don't watch Two and a Half Men.
Me neither.
So, anyways. Moving on, Don Cheadle.
And then it was narrated by Anthony Mendez, who does the narration for Jane the Virgin, which is really hilarious and funny if you haven't seen it.
I have not.
It works perfectly in this one because he does like the same exact thing almost.
Well, no, remember, what was the guy's name?
Anthony Mendez?
No, the other guy from Jane the Virgin.
Jamie Camille?
So we're sitting there watching it, right? And it's probably Jaime.
Oh, Jaime.
Was it Jamie? It's probably Jaime. I don't remember now.
I remember hearing Jaime.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to debate because I don't know. So Mike and I were sitting in the audience, and this guy comes out, and fucking everyone goes fucking shit bonkers crazy for him. It's like, whoa! And I'm like, Mike, who's that?
Yeah, because you probably wouldn't see him because he wasn't even in the pilot. Did you see the pilot?
I saw the pilot, but that was it. But I honestly wouldn't even probably remember him just from the pilot because I saw the pilot like
2 years ago. No, because he wasn't in the pilot. But he's like, he literally stole the show season one, and now he's like a big part of season two.
Okay.
And he's fucking hilarious.
So yeah, that's hilarious. I'm just like, Mike, I don't know who that is.
And then, so yeah, this one was, what this story was about is it's a remake of Soap Dish, that old Kevin Kline, Robert Downey Jr., who's the female lead in that? I've never seen the movie.
Is it Annette Bening?
Maybe.
Keep talking.
But yeah, it's a remake of that. So it's just like the behind the scenes of like a soap opera, but
they made it as a telenovela.
Yeah, which is
Sally Field.
Oh, Sally Field. There you go. Okay. Yeah, and it was like it was a joke in itself of like kind of
1991.
Poking fun at the yeah. I want to check out the movie. I watched the trailer after we saw this, and it looked interesting. It was kind of.
I remember hearing about it for years.
It was fun. Robert Downey Jr. and pre-Chaplin days, right? When do you make Chaplin?
God damn it!
We don't need to know that. They can look it up.
I don't memorize all this stuff. It's totally. There's people that are good with dates. I'm not one of them.
It's totally not.
92.
Okay, cool.
So it is pre-Chaplin.
Yeah. So I mean, this was. I remember Ben talking about this on podcasts, just random ones that he'd be on for like 3 or 4 years. I think at the reading he said he wrote it 5 years ago for Paramount, I think. And it just never got made because, you know, it's fucking hard to get a movie made in Hollywood. So they just had it read now and it was a big hit. Everyone liked it.
If you think about it, the way that they're trying to have... resurgence isn't the word. What's the word?
Trying to like get attention.
Bring attention. Yeah, they're bringing to Latino, Asians, and you know, African American storylines more now. So it kind of makes sense. 5 years ago, they probably didn't give a shit. They're like, oh, it's not white, forget it.
Yeah,
no one's gonna watch this. No one cares.
But now there's like more like a bigger Latino presence on TV, and then those shows are doing
so now.
Like,
it makes more sense. I mean. Granted, he still has to try to get a deal, but it makes more sense why he would try to bring attention to it now and why Blacklist would probably want to do it.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious because if it's on the Blacklist and if he was able to do this reading, I don't know if... Because Paramount hired him to write the story, so I don't know if they have the rights anymore. They probably got back to him.
I would think so.
Yeah, that's why he's able to do it again, so someone else just has to buy the rights. And now you can make a movie for like a lot cheaper than you could 5 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of like independent movies are making a lot more money, so it might... And then with the esteem that it's like, oh, the Soap Dish sequel, you know? Not that Soap Dish was a huge movie or anything, but like, you know, it's a remake, so like people could sell it that way or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, okay, so the first one we went to with Chelsea Peretti and all them was great. was fun. We had a
Yeah, we've time. Already talked about that one.
Uh-huh. But this one, like, blew the roof off the place. Not to discredit the other one, but, like, wow. Like, I mean, I give a lot of credit to Ben being, like, a crazy improviser and, like, him just being, like, a dude that, like, it's apparent on other podcasts that he, like, just gets along with people really well. And, I mean, he had a lot of co-stars on it, like Don Cheadle and from House of Lies. And, like, I know he knows other people through comedy and shit. So, like, they just had a blast with this. Like, Ben would interrupt his own script, so it's, like, not disrespectful at all. Mm-hmm. Like, he would interrupt to, like, have, like, side comments about, like, just, like, joke around about, like, what he wrote or whatever. Like, he would often, like, interrupt the story to be like, oh, I wrote this in 2005, okay? Because it would be, like, it would be referencing, like, MySpace or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Not MySpace, but, like, something older.
It was popular.
Angry Birds, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's right, the Angry Birds reference.
And then he would also, Tom Cheadle would try to play along, and then he would, like, push the boundaries too far, and, like, Ben Schwartz would give him shit. It was a cool time, and everyone had a lot of fun with it. Who was it? Melanie Lynskey, Natalie Martinez, and Diego Boneta, like they had a fucking blast, like, with their side characters, whatever. Like, everyone just tried to one-up each other and just, like, get a laugh from the audience, and the audience is really warm. And it was packed. It was a big crowd.
Yeah. I know, it's so random because the first one we saw, they, to my recollection, they stuck more just to the script, straight to the script, and this one...
It was still funny. I mean, everyone...
Oh, yeah, really, but it was well. Just this one, they so, like, everyone just kind of, like, threw random comments out, and they, like, could do little side mini little riffs and stuff, and, like,
yeah.
They were having a lot more freedom with it, and it made it even better.
Yeah, and to Ben Schwartz's credit, like, a lot of the writing in the narration, which is amazing, because it's, like, no one reads the narration, but a lot of the writing in the narration was funny in itself, like... The only other screenwriter I think that does that is Shane Black. Shane Black will just put shit in the narration just to make it easier for readers to read.
Mm-hmm.
He would just, like, put jokes in the narration that's never going to be on screen. Like, so it's just, like, the way you talk about the setup of a scene or whatever. Like, the whole thing with, there's points in time where, like, he would do very, like, Shaun of the Dead zooms in. Like, zoom in on the poster, zoom in on this person, zoom in on that person. And, like, I mean, just the way he describes in the narration is funny. Like, the joke would be funny on its own and visually in the movie, but... Like, just the way he said it and the way it was narrated by Anthony Mendez. Really funny stuff. I liked it a lot.
Yes.
I'd be down to see it. I would say that it could probably use a little bit of a rewrite, like a second act. The second act could be pushed a little longer. I know we're going into the weeds, but I'm a writer and it's a writing thing. So I'll go into it. Like if they built the characters up a little bit more, I think the ending, which I won't spoil because it might get made or whatever, the ending would have been a lot more, like, impactful.
The ending was kind of crazy.
Yeah, the ending was crazy, and you really have to earn an ending like that. And not that it didn't, but I think a lot of it also was, like, feeding off the charm of the people on stage mm-hmm. reading it or whatever. Like, Jamie, Jaime, Camille, or whatever. And...
Well, Rosalind was really good.
Yeah, Rosalind was really good,
too. She was such a little diva.
She had a... She's the one that had the crying moment, right? She had, like, a... Because she was practically the main character.
Oh, I thought she was the main character.
Yeah, yeah,
I thought she was.
Mm-hmm. It was her, and then Stephanie Beatrice, like, surprisingly has a bigger role than I thought she would
mm-hmm.
compared to the first act. And she has a crying role, too. Like, she gets a little bit of tears out or whatever because of some spoilers. But, yeah. Derek, is there anything... What do you want to... Do you have anything that you kind of nodded off, which isn't your fault because you work a lot?
I just, you know, it's really bad because you put Derek in a dark room for 2 hours and turn the lights down and get him in a comfy seat and air conditioning and just it's all over.
And we had a lot of pizza before that, so pizza's not good for staying awake.
I even drank soda though.
Anyways. Yeah, but pizza.
I did better. I will admit I did better at this one than I did at the other one.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I did way better at this one.
Did you have fun? Was it a good time?
Yeah, like, I comprehended and remembered most of it.
That's good.
I just remember, I think, towards the end, it got a little fuzzy towards the end.
Which yeah, because that's when all the plot threads were coming together or whatever.
Which is so horrible to say, though, because it's like, oh, you paid money to go to this with all these fan actors, and you nodded off a couple times.
But you had fun, so it's cool.
No, oh, I know. It just sucks. But anyways, no, I just remember that I thought that all the exaggeratedness of telenovelas came out very well.
Yeah, right.
And, like, everyone was very, like... outlandish characters and really big and fun and stuff, and I thought it was really, like, good time with having that, because it'd be different if you see that on screen, then you get to watch them do the physical comedy or do the physicality of the characters. This one, you're just hearing them do it, reading it, And the fact that we got to watch them, that even though they were just sitting in chairs, they were still, like, you know, throwing their arms up and their voices, and they're being animated and stuff, even with their gestures and stuff. So they were still, like, getting into it. I think if I would have just heard this on, like, a podcast or, you know, any radio version, I'd still probably like it, but it was definitely a big difference being there.
Yeah, being there was, like, key.
Yeah.
And I kind of geeked out because, like, because I'm a podcast geek, I consume 50 hours a week of podcasts. And then
do you ever keep track, really? Do you think 50, or are you just guessing?
I'm guessing. I mean, I'm pretty sure, because it's, like, 2 hours every day driving, and then plus 8 hours at work. Like,
Jesus.
So that's 40 hours, and then, like, 2 hours a day. Yeah, like 50 hours of podcasts.
You're like the Dominic version, but with podcasts.
But then I'll even listen to podcasts when I'm, like, doing laundry, or, like, when I'm cleaning up or whatever, like washing the car or whatever. So it's a lot.
Do you just never hear, like, human ambience anymore?
Dude, I've
had your parents go and talk to you. Bye! I can't hear you.
You're not funny. I've had to, like, force myself to listen to music recently. I'm like, dude, I'm fucking behind on, like, people on music. So, like, I have to, like, force myself, like, okay, I'm gonna listen to an album this time when I drive to work or whatever. I'm like, okay, now I've listened to at least four new albums in 2015, so thank God. But I mean, I was going to say, for any podcast geeks, I know that Derek probably doesn't listen to them, but you guys might know Jake and Amir from, they have their own podcast network, and they were on College Humor and stuff. And then one of the guys from Gilmore Guys was there in the crowd, looking like exactly like he does when he does live episodes. So it was cool. I guess it was like, you know, everyone's coming out to see Benny Schwaz. Do it. But I had a good time. Hopefully the movie comes out. But let's move on to another live thing that we saw recently when we're recording this. You want to tell people about that? D-Money?
Oh, well, we saw
another... D-Viggy?
D-Viggy. Wow, that's a new one. We saw another edition of Thrilling Adventure, which I'm sure we've talked about numerous times on here, but...
Yeah, we definitely have.
They had called it quits for the most part. Not like... forever, but they had said that they were not going to be doing their
monthly shows.
Was it monthly, bi-monthly, whatever?
Yeah,
they had done away with that. So this is the first show that they have done in LA. I mean, they did one at New York Comic Con,
they did one at PodFest
and New Zealand, which doesn't really count for us. But this is the first one that they had done in LA in probably, what was it, 3 months, 4 months
since May, right? So
like maybe 6 months. Months, yeah,
6 or 7 months.
So it was a really big effing deal that they did this. So.
And it was a Christmas one.
Yes.
Which is fun.
And so they did a little spin on it, though, because normally they just do their sketches or their usual storylines with their usual characters. And this one they
That would be like your Beyond Belief, your Pluto Nash.
Sparks Nash.
Sparks Nevada. Yeah.
This one they did more like a variety hour.
Yeah, they did. Like an old school, like,
we
had Dean Martin variety hour.
We had a magician. We had some musical numbers. We had some...
Mike Furman came out to do, like, a little bit about, like, looping music or whatever.
Yeah, so it was fucking tight-ass shit. Like, I admit, like, I told Mike already, like, I was kind of on the fence in the beginning because they opened up with Beyond Belief, all excited, which was great. And then they get done with that, and it was really funny. And then they start going in all these people doing songs and shit and, like, all this other random stuff.
It was a little shocking at first.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, man, I want to see the other fucking sketches. I want to see the other, you know, shows. And then, like, it started being so funny that I just let it go.
Yeah, right. Because
they did such a good job.
We could talk about some highlights. There was one point where...
I'm just going
to
say
we'll get to that.
I know, I just had to say
There was one point where Busy Phillips came out. Busy Phillips of... I know her from Scrubs. Or no, fucking Scrubs. Well, she's like a character actress, but I know her from Freaks and Geeks. She
Cougar
was,
Town.
Cougar Town. Yeah. But she's one of those people that if you Google her right now or IMDb right now, you'd be like, oh, that person. But she's awesome. She's one of the Work Juice players, which is what they call the Thrilling Adventure Hour regular
work
cast.
Work juice. Sorry.
And yeah, she came out to do Counting Crows' Long December randomly.
I could not remember the name of that song. At least you finally told me.
I Googled it.
I could
after.
Not remember the name of that damn song because I hate Counting Crows with a passion.
Yeah, me too. But and then fucking Weird Al comes out like in the middle of her song, and they do a mashup of Counting Crows, Long December, and Phil Collins' Against All Odds, which was like pretty fun just because it's cool seeing Weird Al.
Well, yeah, first of all, everyone shit their pants when Weird Al came out.
Oh, yeah. Biggest ovation of the night, probably.
Yeah.
And Michael McKean was there. But anyways, what else? Other some other highlights of the show. There's two guys. There's a
The two wannabe Smothers Brothers, or where they kept referring themselves as like the
They're like a Smothers Brothers jokey Tenacious D act, right? And they did a hilarious song about living in L.A. They did a funny song, a pretty funny song about elves going, like it's a story about elves going to the North Pole, and then it was like a really a hilarious song about living in the valley and the 818.
So. Oh man, that was great.
Mm-hmm. So for any of you Comedy Bang Bang listeners out there, Paul Tompkins was there. Obviously, he was one of the hosts along with Janet Varney. So like they would come.
Oh wait, real quick, just in case most of maybe people don't know who Janet Varney is.
Janet Varney of the JV Club, voice of Korra and Legend of Korra, and just like a character actress herself too, right?
There we go. Okay.
Comedian. But JV Club is probably something you should really check out because it's an awesome podcast.
That one even I listen to.
Yeah, exactly. That's how awesome it is. But yeah, so Paul F. Tompkins has been doing a bit on Comedy Bang Bang, a character of Santa. With Lauren Lapkus was also there, comedian extraordinaire,
who is such a fucking funny ass chick.
Yeah, she was funny and
every time.
And then she came out and did her ho-ho. So they dressed up like an elf. Lauren Lapkus's ho-ho is an elf that gives presents to people on the naughty list, and it's like guns and machine guns and stuff. And she has to say her name ho-ho every time someone says ho-ho. It's like an improv game that they do. And then Santa was there too, and that was Paul F. Tompkins, and they're just being like, I love them too as improvisers and when they do character work, but I think they're their funniest when they're playing characters that are just fucking like irreverent as hell, and that's what Ho-Ho and Santa are, just calling people motherfuckers and like just talking shit all the time.
You know, like, fuck, I don't know if you ever, what's the guy's name with the beard? Not the guy that was there, the guy that's usually there but was not there this time.
Craig Kukowski?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was him when the Santa first came out.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. I kept thinking, I'm like, is that him? I couldn't tell, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think I only knew because of Comedy Bang Bang and listening to it so much. And then once Lauren Lapkus came out, I'm like, oh, I know what this is. Because
she does it with him on
Comedy Bang Bang all the time. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I think he only does it when she's there. But it was just fucking a cool podcast fanboy moment to like hear those two, like, or see those two live on stage do it. And then just like have... I mean, it's really, like, Scott Aukerman's, like, the third person that really makes it really funny. But Janet Varney held her own.
Dude, she's a great host.
Yeah. She's a good straight person, but she's funny as a straight person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She's not, like, a straight person, but she'll move it along.
Well, like, but it's just, like, yeah, they basically kind of had her be, like, the MC, move it from act to act to act. And, like,
yeah.
She just came out with, like, you know, bullshit some jokes, and then, like, all right, here's so-and-so, and then there we go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they had some pretty good, like, earnest musical numbers. Like, people just not trying to make a joke and doing songs, which kind of... Like,
dude, Michael McKean was there!
Yeah,
we Michael McKean was there.
I think his was supposed to be a joke. It was really weird. He made us do the We Will Rock You beat from Queen, and then he did, like, I think... I was trying to think if it was from Mighty Wind, like the Christopher Guest movie Mighty Wind, but I don't remember.
Oh.
Because I haven't seen that in a long-ass time.
Me neither.
But yeah, I mean, it was cool because he was also there for the Beyond Belief part.
Which was great.
Yeah, so that was... And Beyond Belief is Padgett Brewster, who's on Grandfather Now, which you probably don't know because no one watches that show, probably. and Community, Season 6, and Paul F. Tompkins. And then I think their guests were Lauren Lapkus, Mark McConville for Busy Phillips, and Michael McKean.
Yeah,
and that was good. And it was cool to see him act in it. And who else was? What are some other highlights? What am I missing?
Oh well, I mean, they had the guy that was doing the looping music.
Oh yeah, that's Mike Furman, who used to be in a thing with Chris Hardwick.
He did?
Yeah, they were in a Tenacious D kind of musical group.
Oh, so they said the Tenacious D comment, but I didn't know who they were referring to.
Oh, no, that was for those Smothers Brothers.
Oh,
guys,
it was? Oh, okay.
But he used to be in his own thing with Chris Hardwick called Hard and Firm. Because it's Mike Furman and Chris Hardwick.
That's funny.
I think you could actually see some of their sets on cc.com, Comedy Central's website or whatever. And he was funny.
Yeah, but he came out and he just had like a little looping pedal and he sat there and kept making all these weird sounds and he had a guitar and he kept making a little bit of little strummings here and there. He basically made like a huge like banned almost of sounds and stuff like, and made a whole song out of it.
Yeah, and then some of it was jokes. Like he would hold the microphone to the sky, and like there was someone played an airplane sound or whatever, and he would like start rubbing it. Like he would accidentally rub the microphone on his shirt, and it sounded like record scratching, like a DJ. So he did that for a while.
That was awesome too.
Yeah. And he made fart jokes with his Yeah, that was cool. It was like, and then the magician was pretty tight too.
You know what the thing I liked about the magician? He was fucking hysterical.
Yeah, he was.
Right? I was like, dude, this guy doesn't even need to do tricks. He can just sit up there and tell jokes.
I think that's the new thing. Like, magicians know that they have to be funny too.
Amazing Jonathan's really funny.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's Justin Willman, who's like pretty funny too. And
like, Amazing Jonathan's one of my favorite comedians. Like, I think I can watch that guy all day. We went and saw him actually in Vegas like a long time ago, and he's just fucking awesome. He's retired now though.
And it makes sense because it's like comedy and magic are the same thing. It's just surprising people and getting a reaction out of them. Magic takes more like sleight of hand skill and stuff, but yeah, he was hilarious. I think he was they introduced him as like the number one close-up magician for at the Magic Castle this year. But yeah, Thrilling Adventure Hour, and they're probably gonna do more, but not as frequently, right?
Yes.
So if you're around LA or like in the
next
LA
one they're
area,
doing is the San Francisco Sketch Fest.
Okay, cool.
I don't know when that is though, but next year obviously.
Yeah, I mean you should definitely check them out because they're like they usually do those big comedy festivals, and like so if you're on the East Coast they'll probably hit up Comic-Con again or whatever.
Yeah. Explain to them, like, in just in case someone's listening to this for the first time, podcast and all that for them.
Oh yeah, and they're on the podcast too. So it's on the Nerdist Network. It's written by Ben Blacker. They who also half of that duo does the Nerdist Writers Panel, and it's just old time radio comedy. So it's like that old time like what was it, The Shadow, like those old time radio dramas, but it's like all jokes. But they kind of take it seriously, but they have jokes within them or whatever. And they have, like, reoccurring stories, like Beyond Belief is one, where Paul Tompkins and Patrick Brewster play alcoholic Ghostbusters. And the one I like is Sparks Nevada. Well, I like Beyond Belief, too, but Sparks Nevada is fun, too. And that's Mark Evan Jackson. Just Google him, and you'll be like, oh, that guy. It's like a cowboy on Mars or whatever. So, yeah, they'll have, like, a story every episode that you can go listen to right now at Nerdist.com or on your favorite podcasting app. Pay me, Chris Hardwick. Anyways, yeah, and so that's... And The Blacklist, too, you could check out, actually, also.
Yeah, but do we not... Did we not figure out if you can access these readings that they do?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we looked into that.
But I know they are readings, so if they're not the ones we're talking about, they're other scripts.
No, I know, but I'm just saying specifically the ones we see in LA on a stage. I don't know if they put those up or not.
Yeah. Oh, no. Actually, yeah. Dude that runs The Blacklist, I forgot his name, but Franklin Leonard. He said at the end of the show that we're going to put this one up like in a month or so.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, there you go, people.
And they do it in installments. So you don't have to listen to a whole movie all at once. So just do part one, part two, part three, part four, whatever.
There you go.
Yep. So check those out. But listen to our podcast first and foremost.
Oh, I just want to say, I forgot to mention, how big would you say that theater is?
That theater is probably, I want to guess, like 500-600 people capacity.
For Largo?
Oh, Largo?
Largo.
Probably 300, right?
Okay. I'll go.
I'm guessing. I don't know. It's a mid-sized theater.
Let's say 300-400, okay? Anyways, so Michael McKean comes out and tells us to fucking do Queen.
Uh-huh.
And do the beat to Queen. And let me just tell you for, you know, because no one's allowed to film anything or anything. There's nothing weirder than having 300-400 people stomping their feet on the ground and clapping their hands to a beat over and over again for like 2-3 minutes. It was really strange. Not in a bad way. Anyways, it was really cool, but just like the synchronicity of people doing that for 2 or 3 minutes was really awesome. Yeah. You know, sometimes you go to a concert, they're like, all right, everyone clap or everyone snap your fingers. This was like a total like choreographed thing that people did for like 2 or 3 minutes and everyone stuck with it. Very awesome.
I'm just going to say it's a bunch of white people and we kept the beat. So that's pretty impressive.
Fair enough.
That's pretty impressive. But yeah, that was, man, I wish he did like, I was hoping that he was like, oh, so yeah. So they asked me to do a song because he came out and explained that he didn't want to play guitar or whatever.
Yeah.
So I thought that was going to segue into him bringing out like, this is Spinal Tap. But that's like a far-fetched.
Did we talk about the Under Pressure?
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
That was awesome. I will never listen to that Queen song the same way ever again.
And that was just like, they weren't even joking around. They just like sang Under Pressure. It was Janet Varney and Paul F. Tompkins, right?
Well, I couldn't tell. They were saying...
Oh, they might have like...
They were singing, so I couldn't tell if they were ad-libbing or if they were trying to make a funny song or if they were actually singing the lyrics. I couldn't tell.
I think...
Because the way the music... That's the only thing I was noticing this time with them using music is that a lot of the music...
Drowned out.
Kind of drowned out when they were singing. Like, the level... I think there's a band on stage.
Yeah. I don't think Largo's sound system needs to be updated.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're used to, like, big productions like that, because it's usually, like, solo guitarists or whatever, and then, like, comedians.
So, but anyways, yeah, I couldn't tell, but it, like, it was really fucking awesome.
It was, yeah. Because they just, like, went for it. Everyone just didn't give it...
Yeah, and then you had the three people on the side that were doing the...
Mm-hmm.
The snapping the fingers and clapping also.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to keep a beat going. I don't know, it was really
Do you remember how they ended the night? What was the closing? Was it Under Pressure? No.
No.
No, that was like in the middle.
They all got up there and did a big number, remember?
Oh,
cast came out and did a number.
I don't know
what the number was.
They did a big number, and then they ended it with the song that they did at Podfest for that musical. Love Ain't No Billy Goat.
Remember? Really?
Yeah.
That was the same one?
That was the last one,
Oh, shit. My bad.
So listen to that one. I don't think that one's out. You have to check it out.
The Podfest?
Yeah.
No, remember my friend Will was saying that he heard the... Oh, no, he said he hadn't heard, but he knew about it. Remember? Because he's is that the goat one? Like, he knew about it.
So the actual whole thing might not be out.
I don't know. I don't know how he knew about it. We didn't ask him how he knew about it. I just assumed it must be. But then he said he hadn't actually heard it.
Oh, okay.
So...
Weird.
But he knew of it.
Maybe they, like, played the song by itself or something.
I don't know.
But that was a fun little nod for a show that apparently only we got to see. we're going to do something different, and we're going to take a break. Listen to this ad from our friends at Comics, Booze, and Profanity.
Hey guys, this is Lantern.
And this is Stark.
And we're from your new favorite podcast, Comics, Booze, and Profanity.
Four assholes drink booze and talk shit about comics. What more could you ask for?
Well, we also talk video games, geek TV shows, movies, pop culture news, and of course, a few brand new comic issues every episode.
All while getting drunk.
It's terrible for our livers.
So if you'd like our friends here at the Geekdom Fancast, but want something a little, I don't know, edgier?
Then check out Comics, Booze, and Profanity, reviewing whatever the fuck we want.
And of course, keep listening to Mike and Derek here on the Geekdom Fancast.
But mainly, listen to us.
And we're back. Thanks, Lantern and Stark. All right, so we're going to talk about the Golden Globe nominees because that's what we fucking do on this podcast. And if you don't like it...
Well, and the SAG.
Keep it to yourself. So, and the SAG Awards. So,
there's a lot of similarities. Besides, remember, and they both do TV and movies.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay, let's go to the Golden Globes first.
I looked at the SAG ones, but I have not looked at the Golden Globe ones, because I thought it'd be actually kind of cool for you to, like, tell me them for the first time.
Best performance by an actor in a supporting role in series, miniseries, motion picture made for television. Alan Cumming, The Good Wife, Damian Lewis, Wolf Hall, Ben Mendelsohn, Bloodline, Tobias Menzies, Outlander, and Christian Slater for Mr. Robot. What do you think about that? What do you think about that?
Christian Slater got a nominee?
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Whatever.
And why is it calling a miniseries? And he's not even the best part of that show.
He's not. That's why I'm like, really?
But they've been spending a lot of money to get their
campaign. Fuck yeah, they have.
Best performance by an actress in a supporting role in series, miniseries, or motion picture made for television. We got Uzo Aduba for Orange is the New Black. Joanne Froggatt. Ooh. That's legitimately how it's spelled, guys. I'm not trying to say that thing. For Downton Abbey. Regina King for American Crime. Judith Light for Transparent. And Maura Tierney for The Affair.
Oh my god, like, this is, like, turning out just like the SAG Awards. Like,
a lot of similar names?
No, I'm already gonna say it. Like, there's so... I haven't seen 75% of the shit that's nominated this year.
I haven't seen American Crime.
They're picking so many fucking artsy, fucking weird, fucking...
Orange is the New Black and Downton Abbey?
No, but they're, like...
Downton, sorry guys, don't write in. It's just the Transparent's probably the most artsy thing on there.
Well, not even art. I'm just saying, like, they're picking so much, like, little, like, I mean, it's getting to the point where, like, what's network TV?
Exactly.
It's like, they're just
maybe
like...
Maybe network TV should step up.
They're just ousting all of... I don't know, like...
Well, I mean,
maybe
American,
with actual shows, but, like,
American
a lot
Crime,
of the acting on network TV is still good.
American Crime is network TV.
And you know what's funny? I hated that show. What's ironic with that. Yes, I don't know. For some reason, it's a critically loved show. I did not like it. I watched like 3-4 episodes. I hated it. I thought it was so boring.
And like The Affair is like Showtime. It's not a network, but it's like a big.
No. Like I'm just saying. Like it's like Jesus Christ. Is it impossible to just nominate something from ABC these days?
I mean, I don't know.
Apparently, it is.
Best performance by actor in a television series. By a television series, comedy, or musical. Aziz Ansari, Master of None. Gael Garcia Bernal for Mozart in the Jungle. Rob Lowe for The Grinder. Patrick Stewart for Blunt Talk. Jeffrey Tambor for Transparent. So it's a lot of obvious things on here. I loved Master of None, but Aziz's writing was better than his acting. Not saying his acting was bad, but he didn't push his character to do anything
too crazy. Well, it's comedy, right?
It's Louie-ish. It's comedy.
No, I'm saying the category.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah, that's true. But I mean, like, I guess. Yeah, he had more dimension than Rob Lowe in The Grinder, which is a show I like too. But I mean, Jeffrey Tambor has like that prestige of like, that could be a drama.
Yeah, I heard it's kind of like a fine line with that show.
Yeah, it's way more drama than it is comedy. It's funny, but it's like way more drama. Best performance by actress in TV series, comedy, or musical. Rachel Bloom for My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Jamie Lee Curtis for Scream Queens. Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Veep. Gina Rodriguez for Jane the Virgin. Lily Tomlin for Grace and Frankie.
Okay, there's some network in there.
What do you think about this one? Well, just tell me if you think about, if you have an opinion on anything.
Oh, well, no, I mean, I still honestly have not watched My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is hilarious because that show is tanking so bad and it's probably going to not even make it past past its first season. So that's what's just funny about that. Scream Queens, I don't even know if that's supposed to be a limited series or not, but Jamie Lee Curtis is kind of ridiculous in it.
In a good way or a bad way?
I think it's a little over the top. I mean, the whole show's over the top, so I mean, eh.
I mean, this is like...
She's all... I mean, it's not... I don't think it's award-worthy. Let's put it that way.
Gina
won... And I still don't... Yeah, I don't watch Gina the Virgin, so...
Gina won the Globes last year.
Which most likely so means she will not win this year.
Yeah, and she didn't win the Emmy, so that's probably...
Well, the Globes always have this weird thing where, like, they'll have their little rookie critical darling that they give it to one year. The first year they do it to, like, bring attention to that person, and then they'll never win it again.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably... I mean, I think Jane the Virgin is more of a cult show than anything right now. I mean, it's pretty big for CW, but that's just for CW, right?
Yeah.
And then... And Lily Tomlin has that. I mean, she's good in Grace and Frankie. Not bad. Probably the better part of it. Not that Jane Fonda's bad, but...
Do you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. How is it?
It was decent.
Oh.
It was chill. It was,
I mean, there's good people on it, but I don't plan on watching it.
I mean, it is what it is. And then, so there's, here's the big boys. Big boys! Best performance by an actor in television series / drama. / drama. John Hamm, Mad Men, Rami Malek, Mr. Robot, Wagner Moura?
What the fuck?
Narcos.
Narcos. Oh, I still haven't watched that. Oh, see Odenkirk, yay.
Bobby O. And Levi Shribes.
Well, I actually know 3 of the 5 in this one.
I hope John Hamm wins, and he probably will.
He probably will. It's almost like a given, because, you know, Swan Song.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's really cool that Rami Malek's getting all this attention, but I don't think it's award-worthy acting. I mean, he's good.
I mean, just got to talk about protocols like this.
Like, right? is this drama?
This is how you do that. This is drama.
It's like
all you do for the role is just like, and then the TCIP IP protocol.
Yeah, he's all monotone and like one note. Like, I don't know. Whatever. I mean, obviously some other people think he's worth it. I think there's way better actors out there.
Yeah, like John Hamm and Mad Men.
Well, no, but I'm saying to get a nomination, you know.
I mean, fuck, I love Odenkirk and Better Call Saul, but John Hamm, Johnny Hamm.
This goes to the root of, of course, me personally, I'm pissed off that no one on The Walking Dead ever gets fucking nominated, and no one on Vikings ever gets nominated, which is complete horse shit, because they can sit there and say the show's bad all they want, but if they sit there and try to say the acting's bad, they're out of their fucking minds. Like, really, you sit there and watch Andrew Lincoln and think he sucks? Okay, you're stupid.
I mean, this isn't a legit thing. It's all campaigns and stuff.
I know, but that's the thing. Like, I know a lot of it's fucking politics and bullshit, but it's just, like, stuff like that. It's like, really? Like, there's, like, I can easily think 5 actors that are better than Rami Malek that deserve a fucking nomination.
Yeah, I mean, that's for everything.
But it's like, you know, you see Patrick Stewart get there. It's like, okay, yeah, Patrick Stewart, fine, got it. You know, John Hamm, okay, got it. You know, cool, you know. No contest, got it. But then you see Bill Hicks, it's like, eh.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. That's like the Oscars, there's tons of, like, independent movies that never get nominated that are, like, loads better than Shakespeare in Love. Anyways, best performance by an actress in a television series.
I know, I went off on a tangent, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm just trying to move it along. I'm not even going to try, but you watch the show, right? So how do you do this?
What?
Katarina Balfe?
I don't watch Outlander.
Oh, you don't?
No.
It sounds like a show.
It's a fucking chick show.
Is it?
Yes.
I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, girls fucking all love that show. It's all fucking, like, romance bullshit.
Katarina Balfe. I don't know. Viola Davis in How to Get Away with Murder.
I'm sure Dominic knows who we're talking about.
Yeah. Dominic, let us know how to say that. Viola Davis, How to
Get Away with Murder. Yeah, Viola Davis, badass.
Evergreen, Penny Dreadful.
She's good too.
Taraji P. Henson, Empire.
Awesome.
Robin Wright, House of Cards.
I don't know. So that's another one where I actually know 3 of the 5.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah. Taraji needs to fucking win something, goddammit.
Yeah, I agree.
If she loses to Viola again, I'm going to feel bad for her because she, you know, remember lost to her at the Emmys.
Mm-hmm.
So if she loses to her again, I'll be like, oh, damn.
Watch, like, Evergreen wins it.
Well, I mean, Evergreen is really good on that show. Yeah. But it's just, I don't know, it's just like Taraji's fucking role is so fun. It's like she's just, that character is just fucking loads of fun.
It might be a thing where, like, they don't give it to her because it's so big, right?
Maybe. Or maybe they just don't feel like, I mean, it was, the first season was only like 10 episodes or whatever, so maybe they're like, you haven't given us enough yet. I don't know. Maybe, yeah. Maybe they're like waiting for her season 2 or something. But then actually at the same time, How to Get Away with Murder was really short too. It was only 10 or 12 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Best actor by, best performance by an actor in a miniseries or a motion picture made for television. We have Idris Elba, Luther, Oscar Isaac, David Oyelowo in Nightingale, Mark Rylance in Wolf Hall, and Patrick Wilson in Fargo.
Did you say Wolf Hall?
Wolf Hall.
What is Wolf Hall?
I don't know, but someone got nominated for it earlier.
I haven't even heard of it. What is Show Me a Hero?
I don't know.
See, this is...
But these are movies, too, by in a miniseries or a motion picture.
Oh, miniseries, I'll see.
Made for television.
I'll see miniseries. I definitely don't know every miniseries.
And Luther's not a miniseries, but it's a BBC show.
No, so I know what Luther is. There,
yeah. And Fargo's the same thing. And
Patrick Wilson is a good actor.
Mm-hmm. They're all good actors.
Well, fair enough.
One of them's going to be in Star Wars, or is in Star Wars. One might be the next James Bond. One was Martin Luther King Jr. And then Patrick Wilson was the guy in Watchmen with the eyes. Alright, so we have best performance by an actress in a miniseries or motion picture made for television. Kirsten Dunst, Fargo. Lady Gaga, American Horror Story Hotel.
Hold on, Lady Gaga got a nomination?
Yep.
No.
Bad?
Uh-uh.
I'm not watching this. So that's a bad? She's bad in it?
No, she's not bad, but she's not nomination worthy. Are you fucking serious? Come on now. Like, Sarah Paulson's better. Kathy Bates is better. Like, you know, like, there's so many people on that show that are better.
See, that's where the politics comes in again. They're like, oh, she's the new one, so let's push her, probably, is probably what
happened. She's all right, but whatever.
Sarah Hay for Flesh and Bone. Felicity Huffman.
That show just came out, too. I haven't watched it, though.
Flesh and Bone?
Yeah.
Is it about the Bone Thugs and Harmony? Oh, it's only a joke.
Oh, my God. Did you really say that? There's like 10% of people that probably got that joke.
Felicity Huffman in American Crime and Queen Latifah in Bessie, which is about a cow. It's not, but I have no opinions on that. Best limited series or motion picture made for television. American Crime, ABC. American Horror Story Hotel, FX.
Big surprise. They
spent a fucking lot of money on their shows. Fargo, FX. Flesh and Bone Stars and Wolf Hall, BBC. What?
No wonder I don't know what Wolf Hall is. It's BBC. That's why I don't fucking know what it is.
Damon Lewis was the guy that got nominated for that. Mr. Fargo. Or no, Mr. Homeland.
Yes.
So here we go. Best picture. Best television series, commentary or musical. It's Casual on Hulu. Mozart in the Jungle on Amazon. Orange is the New Black on Netflix. Silicon Valley, HBO. Transparent, HBO. Oh, I'm Amazon. Veep, and Veep is on HBO. This is fun, but I'm gonna be mad either way.
I don't watch any of those.
This
is all you, Mike.
It's unfair because Casual...
You watched half of these.
Casual... It's unfair because Casual's like... It's good because it's like a character drama about like... like, you know, being serious. Silicon Valley... It's serious in a way, but it's mostly comedy.
Uh-huh.
Silicon Valley's the only one that's really truly comedy in this. Oh, Veep. That's true. So it should be really Veep versus, and then Transparent and Casual should be like in like half hour dramas or whatever. And Orange is the New Black should be in drama. I've never seen Mozart in the Jungle, but it's getting a lot of things, so maybe it's good. I like Gael Garcia Bernal, but I don't know. I'm happy that Silicon Valley is still getting nominated for shit. Not that the season was bad, but, like, you know, some people, like you said, they just have, like, their nod to, like, to the new thing, you know, and then they stop doing it.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they're still doing it. But, yeah, I don't like these dramas up in my comedy, even though I like the dramas that are in there. Best television series drama: Empire, Game of Thrones, Mr. Robot, Narcos, Outlander.
Fucking Narcos, man. Everyone's gonna be watching it after this shit then.
Is it good?
I've been hearing a lot about it, but I have not actually met one person yet that has watched it. It's just one of those things I see, like, stuff on Twitter about it and stuff, but I have not actually met anyone that's actually watched it.
But you watch Empire. Do you think that's worth
it? You know who actually watched it? Remember when we went to the Nerdist Writers panel and Ben Blacker was talking shit about it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And he was saying it's not that good. Mm-hmm. That's hilarious. I watched Empire and Mr. Robot, which I would not give an award to either one of those shows.
Game of Thrones, still great. Not its best season, but...
It'll probably win.
But it had...
It won the Emmy, so it'll probably win.
Yeah, you think so? It had some of its best episodes in the season, but overall the season was not its best.
Well, because, I don't know, has it ever won the Golden Globe?
Nope.
If it has never won, I bet you it'll win.
That's cool. Best original song, motion picture. Do you even want to do this?
What?
Do you want to do best original song in a motion picture?
No! Okay, who cares? Let's skip that.
Best original score.
Nah. Unless Bear McCready's nominated.
I mean, Ennio, but this is for motion picture. Ennio Morricone, dude, he's back after so many years and gets fucking nominated right away, which is really
cool. Is this the Hateful Eight guy?
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's the guy that Tarantino's been fucking wanting to do his shit for a long time.
Gotcha.
We'll skip foreign language. I bet anything that Inside Out wins for Best Animated, but Anomalisa should be in the running too, and it is. Best Screenplay.
Well, we know Mike's going to be all about the screenplays.
I've only seen Steve Jobs, actually, but because all these other ones just came out, and they're things I've been meaning to get to.
Oh, okay.
Emma Donahue,
Room. Oh, yeah, we can't even see The Big Short, hopefully, yet.
I really want to see Room. The Big Short is getting good reviews. I'm really curious about it because Adam K is doing drama. Well, not straight out drama, but it's like more dramatic than
which
usual.
Which one?
The Big Short.
Oh.
Adam McKay is the guy that does the Will Ferrell movies with him and stuff.
Yeah, that's why I thought that name sounded familiar. Mm-hmm.
Spotlight, I'm hearing a lot of good things about. But I mean, it's like all these names and then against fucking I think the big fight here is Aaron Sorkin and Quentin Tarantino, right? So we have Steve
Jobs. That's actually kind of interesting. I wonder if they've gone up against each other before.
Yeah, I don't know, huh?
I bet they have.
I mean, Sorkin is so prolific that probably you're right. And then we have Best Director, Todd Haynes Carroll. I heard a lot of good things about it.
This always goes with picture, though.
Alejandro's back.
Yeah, George Miller. Woohoo!
George Miller, Mad Max, Ridley Scott for The Martian, Tom McCarthy, Spotlight. The Martian was good, but I wouldn't say it was that good where it needs to be up here. Haven't seen The Revenant yet. Can't wait to see that. It looks fucking badass. But yeah, Mad Max. That'd be crazy. That'd be a story to tell.
What?
If Mad Max wins this thing.
Fuck yeah! Sorry. I just love that movie so much.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Best performance by actor, supporting role, any motion picture. Paul Dano, Love and Mercy. Idris Elba, Beast of No Nations. Mark Rylance, Bridge of Spies. Michael Shannon, 99 Homes. Sylvester Stallone, Creed.
Idris Elba's actually nominated for two different things, so he's going to be sitting there fucking in the room like, okay, I got two chances here.
I think, there could either be the comeback story for Creed with Sylvester Stallone, because he was really fucking good in it. Michael Shannon's always a badass. Paul Dano's got a lot of love. I don't know. I didn't see Bridge of Spies, and I don't know who Mark Rylance is off the top of my head. But, I do. That guy's cool. It's a big fight.
Fight, fight, fight. Did you see Creed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fucking great.
Oh, okay.
I loved it.
Michael B. Jordan the shit?
Yeah, fuck
love,
yeah.
Love that guy.
Who would have thought, I was going to save this for our top things of the year, but who would have thought the best chemistry of the year was going to be fucking Michael B. Jordan and Sylvester Stallone? Best on-screen chemistry of the year. I'm
calling really? Right
now. That's what I think, yeah.
Wow.
They're really fucking good in it. Such a good movie. It was just as good as Rocky 1. Okay, we got best performance by an actress in a supporting role in any motion picture. What the fuck is that? In any motion picture? What does that mean? Jane Fonda.
Is that what it says? Any motion picture?
Yeah.
Supporting in any motion picture?
I guess between movies and TV
I know, but that is funny.
Jane Fonda, Youth. Jennifer Jason Leigh. Whoa, she's back. Hateful Eight. Helen Mirren, Trumbo. Alicia Vikander for Ex Machina. And Kate Winslet for Steve Jobs. I fucking loved Alicia Vikander in Ex Machina, and I think she's gonna be a great actress and do a lot of shit, but I haven't seen.
I definitely want to see Trumbo.
Kate Wilson was good in Steve Jobs. Yeah, I really want to see Trumbo too. Any screener copies?
That'd be nice, huh?
I'm definitely borrowing that shit.
Well, it comes out, isn't it out already?
It's out, yeah.
Oh, well,
but it's like
yeah.
It's like hella limited.
Yeah, but we're LA.
We're in LA, baby. What the fuck is this? Okay, best performance by an actor in a motion picture, comedy, or musical. The first two are Christian Bale and Steve Carell, both from The Big Short.
Well, dude, that movie's just packed.
Matt Damon from The Martian, Al Pacino from Danny Collins, and Mark Ruffalo from Infinitely Polar Bear. That's Mark Ruffalo's movie about being a polar bear forever. I don't know. A lot of good names, right?
Oh, fuck yeah.
There's not a name on here.
It's just the problem is I haven't seen any of that stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I mean, I those are all good people.
Again,
at least good people are getting nominated.
Martian, good movie. Matt Damon, great in it. But he didn't have anything to do. So it's like, I don't know. We'll have to see how fucking Stevie and Christian B are in The Big Short before we can make any things. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture, comedy, or musical. Jennifer Lawrence for Joy, Melissa McCarthy for Spy, Amy Schumer for Trainwreck, Maggie Smith for The Lady in the Van. What? Lily Tomlin for Grandma. I just want Maggie Smith to win because I want a movie called The Lady in the Van to win something. It's so ridiculous. But, I don't know. That's that.
Well, I mean, like... See, again,
I haven't seen Joy yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of this shit, so I don't think any of the stuff's out yet.
Those five,
but that's
Trainwreck.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, Trainwreck. Oh, see, that's I have a really hard. Is this comedy?
Yeah, it's comedy.
See, I have a really hard time believing that Joy is the same thing with Trainwreck. It's like they're probably completely opposite ends of the
one's
spectrum.
One's like a David O. Russell thing.
Yeah.
Man, David O. Russell, he just makes a movie and it's automatically in the running. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture drama. We got Bryan Cranston in Trumbo, Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant, Michael Fassbender in Steve Jobs, Eddie Redmayne in The Danish Girl, and Will Smith in Concussion. These are all people we know.
Jesus, yeah.
Fassbender was really good in Steve Jobs.
I mean, even without seeing it, I'm sure Eddie Redmayne kicks ass and he's amazing, but I just hate watching people win consecutive years. It's just boring.
Yeah, right? Because there's so many good...
Especially when Leo really deserves one by now. Come on. Jesus Christ.
I almost fucking died on this set.
Give the guy a
the
fucking...
Back behind-the-scenes stories of The Revenant?
I think so. I know I read some stuff
like
in
everyone involved in it said it was like the hardest shoot they've ever done in their lives.
And it went on like really long.
Yeah, and then the conditions were crazy.
Didn't people like quit and shit?
Probably. I mean, everyone here is trying so hard, but Bryan Cranston, I really want to see.
Well,
Trumbo.
It's just, I mean, Leo, it's getting to the point where it's getting ridiculous. Like the guy is every year just knocks it out of the park and he never wins shit.
I just don't want him to win for something bullshit like Martin Scorsese. I mean, The Departed was good, but like the fact that Martin Scorsese didn't win it for like Goodfellas or Casino is fucking ridiculous.
Okay.
But like, that's the same thing happening. I mean, ironically, it's the guys that work together a lot, but it's the same thing happening with Leo. It's like he's getting nominated for... I mean, he does happen to go against, like, a bunch of good people all the time. But, I mean, yeah, he's a good guy. I mean, as an actor, I don't know how he is personally. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture drama. Cate Blanchett and Carol getting a lot of talk. Brie Larson in Room.
Which, of course, getting tons of fucking
press.
Yeah,
I really want to see it. Rooney Mara, Carol. Oh, that's cool. They're both leads. Saoirse Ronan in Brooklyn and Alicia Vikander in The Danish Girl. I literally haven't seen anything from this.
Well, as I said, a lot of this shit's not even out yet.
I want to see them all. I think they're out, like, for LA people. I know Room's out for LA people.
Well, I know Room's been out, but I think the rest of the stuff isn't out yet.
Yeah, but you have one sitting right there.
One, that's it.
And then now we have Best Motion Picture, Comedy, or Musical, I guess. The Big Short, Joy, The Martian. What? Comedy or musical, The Martian.
I don't, yeah.
No, the hilarious romp.
I don't know.
That is the sing-songy, The Martian, Spy, and Trainwreck. Which the last two are the only ones that are really that thing. And I guess The Big Short because it's like more funny, but it's... I don't think Adam McKay wanted... If Adam McKay wanted to make a comedy out of it, like straight out, we would have known.
Right.
So that's weird. But then here's the big guy. Best Motion Picture Drama. We got Carol, Mad Max, The Revenant, Room, and Spotlight. Oh, shit. Wow. Room's that good.
More like Carol's that good. Yeah. Really? I saw the trailer for Carol. I was not impressed. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, but sometimes movies are not trailer friendly.
No, I'm just saying, but like, I'm just surprised.
Yeah, this is kind of crazy. So usually they say that whatever's nominated for the Globes is like kind of, well, that or the, what is it? The Hollywood Foreign Press Yes. Awards or whatever.
Yes.
Those are like usually the indicators of like, what's going to be up for the Oscars.
Which the problem is, though, because it's comedy and drama, you have to find out a way to split it.
That's true, yeah, because, like...
All 8, 9 of these can't get nominated.
Yeah. I mean, the Oscars doing the best picture to 10, right? It's, like, 10 nominations.
I think so.
But, I mean, you're not going to see Trainwreck or Spy in that, but you might see Joy or The Martian.
I would bet on with the amount of nominees it's gotten that you will see Joy in The Martian, just from based on this alone.
Yeah, so that's kind of like Mad Max.
I would say Mad Max, The Revenant, and then The Big Short. I bet all those get nominated.
For Best Picture?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say Mad Max is kind of like in the danger zone, kind of, because of like...
It's such an action film?
Yeah.
But it's, look at all this already. And I think it got nominated for it didn't get nominated for SAG because they do acting. So it's not really ensemble.
But I mean, I'm excited. If Mad Max Fury Road gets nominated for Best Picture, even if it doesn't win, that's just really cool for like geeks everywhere. But yeah, so the SAG list, we won't go through this as comprehensively.
Well, no, just go through the, because the ones they do different is the acting ensembles.
Acting ensembles? Okay, cool.
Yeah, for TV and for movie.
Outstanding action performance by a stunt ensemble and
no,
a comedy
not
drama.
Stunt ensemble.
That's kind of interesting, though. It's The Blacklist, Game of Thrones, Homeland, Daredevil, and The Walking Dead. Daredevil's stunt cast, if anything, of that show is pretty fucking badass. But then so is Game of Thrones. And so is The Walking Dead, too. So it's like... But it's like The Walking Dead, it's more like the visual effects of the stunts and like how they shoot it together.
Yeah.
But like with a lot of Daredevil, you had like wide shots and like them like actually doing a lot of fight scenes and stuff. And Game of Thrones, one episode had like something that rivaled The Hobbit of like battle scenes. But man, if they just went on like, of like how they had to do it alone, like Daredevil had like one big ass fight scene that's like the shit that everyone talks about, where it's like one shot going through the hallway of a hotel room, and man, the fucking choreography in that had to be crazy. So
yeah,
like if it was not just a fucking popularity contest, I think that should get out there. But let's go for these ensemble ones. Oh, that's what this big list is, huh? Outstanding performance by an ensemble in a comedy series.
Yes.
Big Bang Theory. I'm not going to read all these names. Key and Peele. Modern Family. Orange is the New Black. Transparent. Veep. And that's it.
Yeah. Well, obviously...
I don't want Big Bang Theory to win.
Obviously, everyone started Modern Family winning.
Yeah, and they've won a lot, right?
Yes.
Because I don't really follow SAG Awards too much, but you do, I'm sure.
Well, I try to. I just follow in general.
But they have won a lot, Modern Family?
Yeah. They win everything.
I mean, Transparent's like the critical darling.
See, that's the problem. Yeah, I don't watch the other two. So.
But it's Key and Peele's swan song, and those two guys are fucking hilarious.
But it's only two of them.
Yeah, I know.
I don't see it winning.
But they play a lot of characters.
I bet you Transparent will win.
And they're the big
everyone
guys.
Seems to fucking... Well, this is SAG, though, so people vote. So I wouldn't actually be surprised if Orange is the New Black wins, because everyone watches that fucking show.
But it's like everyone watches like clips of Key and Peele online, you know? Like on YouTube or whatever.
I guess.
And then it's their swan song, and like they're getting a lot of heat in Hollywood.
I guess. I mean... If you want to put a bet down, Mike, we can put a bet down.
I would bet for
my money's on Orange is the New Black.
I would bet for like sports shit, but not for like things that are just bullshit like popularity contests. Yeah, right. Outstanding performance by an ensemble in a drama series, Downton Abbey and all 50 of its English people. Game of Thrones and all 20 of their English people. Homeland and all those people. I don't want to read the cast for Homeland because it's spoilers. House of Cards and all those people.
And Madman, which one?
Madman.
So yeah. It's just yep. That's
Madman should win it, right?
It'll win.
Look at all these guys. It'll you got your Bruce Greenwood who came in the last season and snuck in for this ensemble. John Hamm, Christina Hendricks, January Jones. Everyone sounds like fucking superheroes. Vincent Kartheiser, Elizabeth Moss. Come on, guys. It's the last chance. Do they do this for movies too?
Yeah.
Okay. Ensembles?
Yes.
Yeah, because pretty much all the other ones are pretty much the same.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, a lot of them are the
Nurse
same.
Nurse Jackie got for a comedy series, and so did Ellie Kemper, which is cool.
No, they're not identical, but they're very similar.
Yeah, yeah. I'll shout out the ones that are different. Like William H. Macy got on for Shameless for awesome. A comedy series, and Louis's back.
And again, Emmy Rossum does not get a nomination. Sorry. I will bring this up every year because it continuously pisses me off.
Yep.
Sorry.
Female actor in drama series. Everyone's pretty much the same except for... Juliana Margulies for The Good Wife and Claire Danes for Homeland. So the people
surprise, Claire Danes got a nomination.
Yeah, the people that get nominated for these things that don't get nominated on the other ones are just like the legacy people, I'm guessing. It's like everyone that's like either been around a while or like been on shows that have been around a while, right? Like The Good Wife has been on for like 4, 5, 10, 20 Infinity seasons.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, everything else is the same. Peter Dinklage is the guy that got added on to this for a drama series. Nicole Kidman for Grey's Monaco, which is pretty old already, isn't it? Didn't we hear that on like Last Awards or whatever?
Which one?
Grey's Monaco.
No, I don't know that one.
Yeah, and then the TV miniseries one, Ray Liotta's the new guy for Texas Rising. What the fuck is that? On History?
Yes.
Have you talked about that on this thing before?
No, I don't think it's out yet.
Oh, really?
Or is that the one that came out Memorial Day, maybe? They had one that came out during Memorial Day, and it wasn't nearly as big of a deal as that Kevin Costner one. It wasn't nearly as big as that one. I think it just came and went, and like no one cared.
How many shows does History have now?
They don't do shows. They just do, except for Vikings, they just do miniseries. They do like these little weekend ones or like 4 episodes, and that's it.
But they're pretty decent, right? I mean, Vikings.
I haven't seen them, supposedly.
We know you love Vikings.
Vikings is awesome. But I mean, like these, like Hatfield McCoys, that's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
So I think this was supposed to be their.
I actually wanted to check that out.
I think this was supposed to be their next Hatfield McCoys, and I don't think it did anything.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Outstanding performance by cast in a motion picture. So we have Beasts of No Nation and The Big Short, which is full of every fucking person in Hollywood. Spotlight, which is pretty big itself. We got Billy Crudup, Michael Keaton, Rachel McAdams, Mark Ruffalo, Liev Schreiber, John Slattery, and Stanley Tucci. Holy shit, that's a good cast. I really want to see this movie. Oh, it's Straight Outta Compton? That's tight. So you have Paul Giamatti, fucking Ice Cube's son, and the dude that's in Walking Dead right now. Trumbo. And then...
Got tons of good people.
Yep. Do you have a favorite to win that?
I don't think I've seen any of those yet.
Oh, yeah, huh? Yeah, me neither. Oh, I've seen Straight Outta Compton.
I haven't seen it.
But, yeah, I haven't seen all the other ones.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a wait and see, but like I said, it's... I think just by looking at the list, it's just like, oh, hell yeah. It's like, at least it seems warranted just that they even got nominated.
I want to bring this up. Surprisingly, it didn't show up on the Golden Globes, but Johnny Depp for Black Mask got on for Outstanding Performance by Male Actor in Leading Role.
Yeah.
I didn't see Black Mask, did you?
No.
Tyler Perry's Black Mask. Yeah, everyone thought, like, from the previews alone, people were saying, like, oh, this is Johnny Depp's big thing back, but yeah. I guess not, right? Because,
well, I mean, besides the SAG Awards. People have gotten SAG and not gotten Golden Globe and still gotten Oscar, but yeah, it's not looking good for him, let's put it that way.
Yeah, because, like, all the people stacked up against him.
I don't think the movie did that well. I'm not really sure, but I don't think it did.
It definitely got middling critic reviews.
Yeah.
And, I mean, people on God Hates Geeks didn't like it. But,
I don't think Charisse liked it that much either.
Yeah, surprisingly, right?
Yeah.
Eddie Redmayne, like, these are a lot of big people already. Eddie Redmayne, Michael Fassbender, DiCaprio, Bryan Cranston. I love that Bryan Cranston's getting movie nominations.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. It's really cool for him.
And, like, the new one...
He's definitely one of the ones I could see taking Leo down, possibly.
Yeah?
Well, just because, like, everyone already loves him.
That's true. Do you think
Without watching the performances, obviously. But I'm just saying, theoretically, the... resume and, you know, body of work of Bryan Cranston, I could see him taking him down.
Yeah.
Just because that's happened to Leo before. More experienced people get up there, and that's who he loses to.
And then I was going to say, do you think that the fact that Leo's always in these lists and, like, always doing, like, Oscar fodder, like, hurts him?
I would say maybe in the past, but now it's getting to the point where, like, he gets nominated every year and it's getting ridiculous. I think people are going to want to give him something eventually.
Yeah, persistence is key.
I mean, yeah, it's like after a while they're like, all right, we'll give him one, you know. Like,
but it's getting to the point where, like, people aren't surprised by him, you know? I mean, they'll be like, oh, shit, yeah, he's a good actor.
I don't know, we'll see. I mean, it probably depends on the film.
Yeah, that's true. Like, we haven't seen The Revenant.
If he finally, you know, if he says, I've already known 3 people that have seen this movie from, you know, various ways, and they've all said that, just give him the Oscar already. Just give it to him.
He's that good?
I mean, you know, it depends on the credentials of the credibility of the person you're talking to, but I mean, I think that's just saying something either way.
Well, we'll watch it, and we'll tell our listeners what we think. But other than that, it's interesting, so we'll see.
Yeah.
It's fucking award season, man.
Well, almost.
It's just like...
A couple weeks. Yeah.
Already. Jesus
Christ. We'll try to get the girls back on.
Yep.
Yes. For all you people, we'll try to get the ladies back on, the Luna and the Fit, and see if we can get them to weigh in on this stuff. We'll see.
Yeah.
We didn't have luck with the Emmys, so we'll try to get them on board for either the SAGs or the Golden Globes. We'll see.
I mean, we've had so many great guests, and so we'll get someone that you'll love, because we love them. But yeah, that was our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you have any opinions on what we said about all these people that you love on all these awards lists or whatever, contact us on facebook.com/TheGeekdomFanCast, GeekdomFanCast on Twitter, GeekdomFanCast on Instagram, and subscribe to us on iTunes at TheGeekdomFanCast, and you can find Derek at UncleDarryl37, DarryL37 on Instagram and Twitter. And you can find me at OneMike on Instagram, Twitter, and Tinder. So you don't have to have a lonely Christmas. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you.